The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
The health of our nation is no longer about personal choices. Obesity and disease affects us all, as they also affect the bottom line of all businesses, large and small. Welcome to Investing in the Future, Creating Wealth Through Health, with your host, Susan Doherty. With all kinds of healthcare changes in the news and affecting businesses today, you can't afford not to listen today. And now, here's Susan Doherty.
Hello, and welcome to Investing in the Future. When I first began to prepare for this show, I had planned to discuss activity-based programs, and I knew that I wanted to talk with Virgin Health Miles on air about this type of programming. Because you see, when I was the health and wellness program manager at my former job, I managed this company for the program, for the company, and I actively participated in the pedometer-based approach to health. I encouraged my coworkers to join, and I promoted it to those outside my personal sphere. I was motivated to get my steps in, and not only was I rewarded with incentives by my company as part of our wellness program, I was rewarded through Virgin Health Miles for my participation. And as I reached new levels, I earned money. I experienced firsthand what it was like to be incentivized for activity. And not only were my individual efforts rewarded, but we held challenges where team efforts were rewarded as well. You know, of course, this all spilled over into my personal life. My dog benefited. Did someone say, let's go for a hike? I'm in. Once I got home, I'd have to check my pedometer. How many steps do I have? Oh, not enough. Let's go for a walk. Virgin's program designers also understood that engaging the employee's spouse or partner would have a positive effect, so they allowed them to join as well. My TV-loving husband even got in on the act, ensuring he got his steps in most days. So that's what I was planning to talk about. But once I started doing my research for the show, I discovered that Virgin Health Miles is now Virgin Pulse. What does this mean, I wondered. Turns out it means a lot. So with me here today is CEO of Virgin Pulse, Chris Boyce. Chris Boyce is an accomplished technology entrepreneur who brings more than 15 years of consumer loyalty, enterprise, and consumer software experience to Virgin Pulse. Leveraging Virgin's philosophy that business should be a force for good, Chris's leadership has been instrumental in guiding Virgin Pulse's development of market-leading products and services that help employers improve workforce health, boost employee engagement, and engage corporate culture. Chris has a deep background in corporate and consumer loyalty programs. He was the co-founder and former VP of Business Development at UPromise, an online loyalty coalition and college savings account business. There, he built a business development team that now boasts the largest and most comprehensive partner coalition of any loyalty program in the U.S. Before founding UPromise, Chris founded and served as director of the healthcare business unit at Trilogy Development Group. Chris has an MBA from Harvard Business School. Chris, I'm so happy to have you here with me today.
Susan, thank you so much. It's great. It's great to be on with you.
Thank you. I'm excited. I'm really excited to have you share with our listeners your extensive research into what it really takes to have engaged employees. So I want to start with the obvious. Virgin Health Miles recently became Virgin Pulse. And I want to know what made a successful company reinvent itself like that.
So what we found is when we first started this, our goal was to see if we could really change behavior for the long term, not just get somebody to pay attention to a quiz or a questionnaire, a health risk assessment. Our goal was to say, can we actually get people to engage in something and then change their behavior in the long run and stay engaged and really change their behavior, which then would make a significant difference in their health, in their happiness, in their lives. And we found that to be true. And so it dawned on me, we had a client advisory group in, and the clients were saying to us, you know, Chris, you're changing our culture. You're changing our very companies. Our employees are happier as employees because of your program. And so we started to look at this, and they said 75% of the value that you bring to us is what we wouldn't qualify as healthcare cost reduction, but it is actually just changing our culture. We're becoming a better place to work. And so as we looked at this and started to look at if we can help people change their behavior in little daily things that make a big difference at the end, they'll be happier, they'll be healthier at work, they'll be more engaged as an employee. And so what we did is two things that were happening. A lot of people were saying, well, that's just an incentives program. And as you well know, this is much more than incentives. Incentives is a component of this. But we said Health Miles kind of narrows us in the marketplace. Health Miles is, one, it's only about health. It's not about this greater idea of well-being, this greater idea of employee engagement. And the second thing is people would confuse it sometimes with Air Miles programs or, you know, some kind of frequent flyer type of program. And so we said, you know what, we actually are growing into a bigger, we're offering a greater value than what Health Miles might mean to people. And so we said we've got to have a name change. And so that's what we did, is we said we're about helping people find that pulse in their life. We're about helping companies find that rhythm and that, you know, that groove that they get into to really help their employees be the very best that they can be, and to help those individual people change their lives for the better. It's really interesting. Susan, we did a study here not too long ago. 85% of our members say that we're helping change their lives for good. And that really is kind of one of those proud moments as a, you know, somebody who really values kind of behavior change and values helping people change their lives for the better. When you have that large of a population say, you know what, this program's actually helping me change my life. I'm changing my habits. I'm changing the way I live. I'm happier. I'm healthier. It's impacting my family. This is a good thing. And so that for us was kind of the reason that we changed from from Health Miles to Pulse, is because we're helping people find more vibrancy in their life. And we're helping corporations instill more vibrancy across their organizations through their culture and through helping their employees.
That must, you had to have felt really proud of that, you know, going into that and seeing that it wasn't just a program. It was a life-changing, motivating kind of thing. That's something to be very proud of.
That's one of the things that we've seen that has been really powerful, Susan, is that for the 7.5 years we've been in business now, we actually can show that we can take a majority of the population, and if we'll follow best practices, take a majority of that population, not just a fraction of it, but a majority of it, and sustain behavior change over that 7-year period. That's incredible. And for us, that was, you know, that we started to see that early on, and I kept worrying, like, okay, when's that going to fall out? But it never did. We were able to build enough of value for individuals into the program in different ways that they said, this is cool. This is changing my life. I love this. I'm getting more people involved, and it starts then to become a shift in the entire kind of population or the culture, and people just start to behave differently. And once you get that support and once people think about it differently, then all of a sudden you can sustain that behavior change over the long term and find the positive benefits of that alone are really astonishing.
Well, I mean, I can vouch firsthand, as I mentioned in the opening dialogue, that it does do that. Even though I am no longer on the program, since I'm not at my company any longer, when I'm out walking, I still consider, how many steps do I have today? Have I gotten enough? I mean, it has really been that ingrained in me, because I was in there in the beginning with you 7 years ago, or close to it. So
That's exactly right. By the way, through friends and family, I can get you back on the program. This is no problem.
I think I need to do that, because I do. I mean, it still is with me. I carry the lessons that I've learned since then. But I know that it was very helpful to be a part of the program, because it kept me on track with what I was doing. So I want to go from here, and I want to get back to a little bit of some of these, maybe you have a couple of stories you want to tell about people whose lives have changed. I know that I have a couple that I could share. But when I was doing some research and looking through your website, there was a lot about the total quality of life, and that seemed to be like the, you know, one of the big shifts as far as what you were looking at and where you were coming from before, and being more activity based until to going into something that's really more about the total quality of life. What does that mean for you all?
Sure. Our view of the total quality of life is this simply, which is if we can help people in every area of their life that has a meaningful difference to them, then they're going to have, one, a better life. Two, they'll be a better employee. So I look at it, and a lot of companies say, you know, leave home at home, right, and just come to work and just don't ignore the rest of your life and just work while you're here. But we all know that the advent of kind of all the tools that we have works with us as pervasive. I have got it on my cell phone. I've got it at home. I'm on email at night, right? There's all sorts of different things. And vice versa. Work, you know, our home lives, you know, kind of invade the workspace. And that's okay because you can never really divorce yourself from who you are and what you do kind of in and outside of work. And so our view of the total quality of life is if we can help people really live the best life that they can live, if they can get better sleep, if they can eat more nutritiously, if they can exercise more, we know that their energy levels are going to go up. But we're not stopping there. We look at it and say, gosh, if they can focus on the right things and learn new things at work, then all of a sudden, and at home and in their own lives, then all of a sudden their ability to focus and produce gets a lot higher. And finally, we look at the areas of motivation and say, you know what, we're all motivated by our relationships, we're motivated by helping others, we're motivated by taking care of our families and our friends. And if we can help people enhance those relationships and those motivations, then we can actually, you know, do something that is much more sustainable. So our view is that if we can change the quality of a person's life in their energy, in their ability to focus and produce, and then their ability to impact themselves and others that they love, then that really is the total quality of life that we're looking to improve at Virgin Pulse. And we think that we really do believe it, and it shows in engagement study after an engagement study, that if employees can then feel like they've got control in their lives, they feel like they're progressing, they feel like they're making a difference at work and at home and with other people, they're much happier, which means they're more engaged. And so for a total quality of life to work, we think that, gosh, if we can get people living their best, being their best selves, they're going to bring that best self to work, and they're going to be much better at work, thereby lifting their employers overall. And so that's the goal that we have, is help love the employee, get them to their best selves, and by just it'll just happen that their workplace then becomes a better workplace as they improve themselves.
Absolutely. Bring all of that in. And one of what I see in all this, too, is it also helps relieve stress in a person's life.
Oh,
so
sure.
If you can, you know, if you can improve on that and improve their stress levels and bring them down and improve their physical well-being, their emotional well-being, and then you're even bringing in the social aspect of that. And that was one of the things I liked about the program from the beginning as well.
Yeah. We find that none of us get healthy alone, really, right? People use this social aspect of it, but this idea of their physical health, their mental health, their stress levels, their ability to be resilient, you know, people's ability to cope with challenges and trials that come along, all of those things, right, can improve. And if you look at all of the best psychology and cognitive behavioral therapy and around things like sleep and, you know, depression and other challenges that people have, in addition to things like activity and nutrition and the sleep itself, all of a sudden stress levels change dramatically for the positive. And people are feeling better, they're feeling happier, they're feeling more able to control their lives around them, but also more able to contribute. And when somebody feels good, right, then they have the ability to contribute. If somebody comes to work and is depressed, or if somebody comes to work and their health is on the line, or somebody in their health, their family's health is on the line, they just won't be able to contribute what they normally would. But if they're feeling good and their quality of life has improved overall, they can bring more of their best selves to work and then be a much better contributor in the workplace. We know that that's true. The studies have shown that that's true. The studies have been conclusive that if you can get somebody just to exercise, that they are actually going to have more mental horsepower at work than if they don't. They're going to feel better at work. If you just exercise and take simple steps, little tiny steps, but simple steps, you can. It's as good a cure for depression as a lot of other things can be. In fact, it's one of the best cures. So helping somebody, you know, physically, mentally, and socially, we think is terribly, terribly important.
That's one of the things I've always done, too, is when I talk with someone and they are feeling down, the first thing I mention is, like, when was the last time you went for a walk? Get away from your desk. Get outside. Enjoy some sunshine. It does have a positive effect.
Really true.
This is something I think we can all relate to as well. You know, changing personal health habits is not easy. I mean, there's no one out there, I think, that can say that. But how can an intervention program like this help employees change their habits for the good?
So I guess the first thing is employees got to want to change for there to be a change. But often the challenge is they want to change and they want to make big changes and they want to make them fast. And we have found and we know that if you look at all sorts of psychological work, if you look at habits and how to create habits and establish habits, you start with easy things for people to do. So a lot of people in our program think, well, what you tried to do just with physical activity is get people to walk 7,000 steps a day. And while that's true, that's an outcome. What we actually tried to do was just get people to adopt a pedometer, put it on their body, and start to track how much they were actually walking in a day. So if they started that habit, the habit of just carrying a pedometer around with them started to be a great trigger for all sorts of other habits. And so what we really believe in is small, meaningful, well-thought-through kind of habits designed to help people change the larger issues in their life, the things that are going to impact the most. That's where we started. And so what we said is, gosh, can I get somebody to actually change the amount of physical activity they get? And this is where we started. And what does it take to get them to do that? And so instead of kind of big interventions, right, people change kind of two ways. One, they can have a huge epiphany. Someone dies, they're scared to death, they start to look at their own life and really consider kind of where they're at. That doesn't happen to everybody, and often those changes aren't very sustainable. What happens to most people is they start to do little tiny things that have huge impact in their life. And if people enjoy those little things and they find success in those little things, they find that they can actually get up just a little bit better. And so it's the small steps, it's the small habits, it's the little things that people do that actually, one, make a huge difference and then keep people engaged over the long term. And so the intervention kind of that we're involved in is, one, find whatever it is that an employee wants to change, and then help them, give them support in making those small changes, either through challenges and competitions, through a variety of different incentives, through triggers that you can provide for them, through communications, through social pieces that you can provide for them. Help them in any way that they can, using a variety of different tools, to actually make and sustain those small changes kind of on a day-over-day basis. If you change those habits, you can actually change, you know, you can change the world, you can change people's lives in a huge degree.
And where, like you were talking about, when you first started, it was just the pedometer, and that really did. You put it on, and it was amazing how people would put it on and realize not how much they were doing, but sometimes how little they were doing, and that alone would be a motivation for them to move forward and to take a few more steps. So when we come back from our break, we're going to talk a little bit about what does motivate employees. So, and I know that you had a survey that you conducted, and I want to hear a little bit about what your findings from that, what you found out from doing that survey with 10,000 employees. So stay tuned, and we'll be with you in just a moment.
All right. Thanks so much.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
As your business grows, are you growing with it? Do you have the right balance of time, attention, work, and personal life? Take the growing pains out of growth and tune into The Business Edge with Marcia Zeidel. If you are spending most of your energy managing problems rather than focusing on taking your business to the next level, our program will give you the steps you need to make sure you have everything in place for forward-thinking business leadership. The Business Edge is heard every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Are you looking for innovative ideas on how to achieve your financial dreams? Tune in to Empirical Investing Radio every Thursday afternoon at 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern on the Voice America Business Channel. Join certified financial planners Ken Smith and Ethan Broga to learn how you can obtain financial success. You'll be entertained while you discover techniques to alleviate your financial concerns. Empirical Investing Radio every Thursday at 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern on the Voice America Business Channel.
Social media is growing at an astounding rate. In just virtually 5 short years, we have seen YouTube, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter take the world by storm. How do you effectively make social media work for you? Tune in to The Social Universe with host Kurt Wilhelm. We'll show you how to market your business or yourself to get ahead, especially in unstable economic times. We'll also discuss practices that you can apply to increase visibility and revenue as you unlock the mysteries of the social universe. The Social Universe is broadcast live every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You're tuned in to Investing in the Future, Creating Wealth Through Health with Susan Doherty. Got a question or comment today? Please call into the show at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to Susan at thehealthywell.com. Now back to Investing in the Future, Creating Wealth Through Health.
Welcome back. We are here with Chris Boyce, the CEO of Virgin Pulse. We've been talking about what motivates employees to make behavioral changes. I mean, it's a hard thing to do to change behaviors and become healthy. And so, Chris, I know that you all did a survey of 10,000 employees, I saw. And tell us a little bit about what your findings were when you surveyed these. What questions were you asking and what were their answers?
So a lot of our we do lots and lots of surveys. Data is a strong point for our company because we really want to know the hearts and minds of our members and our clients, and see exactly what it is that they kind of are thinking about. I think one of the things that we did recently that is of note is that we've looked at a variety of different things, but one of the things that we're trying to understand is how do we as a company and as a program, from a health standpoint and a kind of total quality of life standpoint, how do we actually impact the workplace and make that a better place to work? And we found that our members, right, 57% of our members actually say that our program made their company a better place to work. That our program alone is the thing, is a thing that actually made their workplace a better place to work. And to have that large of a population, kind of stand up to that idea, one is important to us. The other thing that we found from that is we found that 21% of our members said that they'd taken, far fewer sick days, since the company started using the Virgin Pulse, Pulse program. And that's really meaningful to a lot of different types of organizations on that front. They're able to look at and so it's a real benefit to the corporations. A lot of times we talk about and think, if I can change my behavior and become an exercise, if I can eat better, if I can get better sleep, we think about how our lives improve. But there's also a follow-on effect to our families. Like you said, with walking your dog and getting your husband off the couch and doing things, there's a follow-on effect. And so we found that the other thing that we found is that most people, want their family network to be involved, their family and friends. And their family and friends can really help them, change their behavior and support the behavior changes that they want to take on in their lives. And so that's kind of one of those other areas that we found has been very valuable from a data standpoint.
Well, I truly believe that is true. As far as whatever you do at work, if you go home and things are different there, it's not sustainable over the long run. And so I've always believed that you have to kind of engage the whole family. I mean, even for ergonomics, You know, you can set somebody up perfectly at the office, but if they go home and they're slouching at their home desk, then, you know, it's not going to have that positive effect. So I think it kind of rolls around the same way. So I'm going to go out on a limb here and assume that this is why Virgin Pulse decided to allow friends and family members to join its program. When I was there, we didn't have friends allowed, only spouses. So how is that working with the program and allowing more people in?
It's really important. We find that people run. So what happens is, you know, 8 to 10 hours a day, you're with your coworkers and you're at work and you have a network of people that you come accustomed to and enjoy being with. And people, that's one network of people. But there's another network of people, and that's friends and their family, other people they care about, other people that are close to them. And if they all are working together on similar topics, they're trying to get better sleep together. For example, if I'm having a hard time sleeping, that impacts my wife pretty significantly. And if she's having a hard time sleeping, that impacts me. And so if we can figure out how to do those things together, if my children, right, like to run and I'm like to run and we go out and support each other, that actually makes a pretty big difference. And so this other looking at the different social networks that people are involved in is one of those things that's important to help people change behavior. If you look at what Nicholas Christakis has done and the Framingham Heart Study, the follow-on to that, how people actually quit smoking together, how people then became obese together. So it's in groups and in social networks that we actually change our behaviors. And so we've seen that to be true, and so we say, look, if we really want this employee to change their behavior, then they should be allowed to, you know, invite friends and family to the program. Because, one, we're going to see further engagement. People are going to stick with it longer. And we know that if they get their friends and family involved, their chances of making those changes are significantly better. You know, what we found overall in that survey is first of all, does my employer care about me? Right, and my quality of life. And we found that with our the people in our program, by and large, and large majority of people said, yep, my company cares about me. They care about who I am. They care about me progressing. And as you well know, Susan, that's one of the key engagement questions is does someone at work care about my well-being? Does someone care about me progressing in my life? And we could put a huge check mark next to that one for our program members. The second thing is, can you reduce my stress? I feel uneasy often at work simply because of, you know, the amount of stress. And we've been able to see that people in our program actually see a significant, declination in how, you know, in their feelings of stress at work simply because they're out exercising, they're doing other things with the employee base and at home that are helping reduce that stress. And then finally, they're saying, gosh, I want my family involved. You know, I want to have a connection there. Close friends really help me out. So those are the big three things that we found out of that study. And that's exactly why we have friends and family involved, is because we know that our chance of success is far greater if we can get their familial and friend connections into the program with them.
And I see that not only would it help them physically be more physically active or eat better, but if you're engaged in a program like this together, you're also being more socially engaged and you're going to have a better relationship with that person because you have a common goal. I see that.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know if you're familiar with the Grant study here that was done at Harvard over a 75-year period, but the number one thing that they found in that study that helped people gain and garner success, it was their ability to have close personal relationships. And that we really do believe that is critical in helping people improve their total quality of life. You and I both know that relationships are really key drivers, and if relationships are good, then everything else goes well. And people are more positive, they're happier, they have a more can-do attitude if they've got good, solid, supporting relationships. Anything we can do on this front to create this social bond, this relationship, this idea of accountability one with another is really important. That's part of the reason, too, that we have teams and challenges and groups so people can join and feel a part. But it really is important to grab that family relationship and the friend network as well.
Absolutely. So I know that when I work worked with the Virgin program that one of the things I really appreciated was the ongoing component of daily activity, because it encourages frequent interaction, especially with, you know, getting on the portal and, you know, uploading your steps and also logging your, whether it's your sleep or logging your other activity or your food. So why is daily engagement so important to a wellness program?
So this is one of the things that I really gained a great appreciation for kind of in the loyalty business at You Promise. We were able to find that if you can tap into the closer you can get to daily engagement, okay, the more powerful the program becomes, the more top of mind it becomes, and the better off you are. And the more habits you can change. And so from a very practical standpoint, you know, we want this to be top of mind for people. Their health, their, you know, their energy levels, their ability to focus, their family relationships and what motivates them. We think if you can keep those things top of mind and focused on in kind of a daily way, people will continue to come back to a website. One of the things that we find is that, you know, most wellness programs get people back to their site about 0.5% people come back to their site on kind of a daily basis. And we're able to see significant and drive significant traffic where we get 60 to 80% back to the site on a monthly basis. And so if you look at our penetration on this one, people come back to our site just a little under what people go back to Facebook. So Facebook users go to Facebook. And that's critical because it's daily and it's helped significantly by having an accelerometer, pedometer in their pocket, some kind of tracking device. But anything that you can tap into from a daily perspective, like we're just launching our nutrition product and, you know, daily entering of your calories and what you've eaten just keeps it top of mind. And so anything that we can do to keep this top of mind and kind of a daily and keep it a light touch, not too much work, not too much effort, but keep it a light touch. We find that daily engagement is the key to changing behavior and to long-term success in these programs.
You know, I said that I had some stories. This was one that I just recalled, and someone once said, you never know what your level of OCD is until you have a Virgin Health Miles pedometer. It was pretty funny because it was like, I have to upload my steps. People,
you know, I had my mother on the program and, you know, I became her personal support specialist because she wanted her step. I mean, it was, and I said, what's so important about this to you? And she says, this is part of my world that I can control. This is something that I can do. And I can see the immediate result and feel good about those things that I've just done. And we find that to be true. People do gravitate to this idea of, I'm changing my behavior, I'm being successful. And what you find is if you can help people be successful in one area, then they become more successful in all areas.
Because when you take that baby step and you achieve that baby step, then you are motivated to move on and you want to get to the next one. And that was one of the, you know, I really liked the levels. You know, we would get this big, you know, I don't know if you still do that, but this
we
big
do.
Thing saying, yay, you've made level two, you've made level three. And that was, I would replay it sometimes. It was that exciting.
That is absolutely true. And we've got that kind of feedback. You have to make this fun. And you bring up a really good point. You have to make this fun. And we've always had a focus on celebrating victory, right? It's part of our culture. It's part of what we do as a company, but it's part of what we do with our members. That's so important. Is you have to celebrate success. So often, people at work, you go ask anybody, and their to-do list is always more than they can get done, right? And there's always a stress and a pressure that they've got more than they can get done. And so, if you don't celebrate some of the victories along the way, you just end up feeling bad all the time because you're not getting everything done you hope to get done. And so what we found is this idea of celebrating the small victories is really impactful for people to keep it top of mind and to continue on in the program. Is they feel like they're actually controlling and winning in an area of their life that probably they haven't won in before. And that's what we were able to show, Susan. It's really cool. 70% of the population is inactive, right? And so they don't actually move enough. And we've been able to prove longitudinally over the long term, over 5, 6, 7 years, that we can actually get a majority of the population to become active in that time frame and stay active as per the CDC. So this idea of real meaningful ongoing behavior change. There's so many triggers to it, and that idea of celebrating is one of those triggers to keeping long-term engagement alive.
Well, another way that kept long-term engagement alive were the incentives. And you know, I know that they're not the be-all, end-all, because you know it's only going to go so far, but having an incentive often is what you know would get people into the program. Hey,
yeah,
do you know that you can earn X amount of money? And it, really, I didn't know that. So, you know, what type of incentives are the most rewarding and maybe really get people moving and most motivating for people?
Yeah, so this is one area of the science that's so much fun. Is, you know, there's been a lot written on incentives overall. First of all, I'll just state categorically, intelligent incentives are critical in helping people move along this path. It helps them get started. It helps them get back if they've dropped it. It helps them in a variety of different ways. And let me break that down a little bit. There's all sorts of different types of incentives. So if you're looking for incentives to drive, you know, changes in behavior, there's what I'll use is emotional incentives. How am I feeling about that? There's social incentives. There's status incentives. Where am I in this? How am I doing compared to others? Everybody has some voyeuristic tendencies as far as it comes to where do I fit? They're just trying to fit in the world. How do I fit in this world? You know, how do I exercise compared to somebody else? Am I doing good? Am I doing bad? So this idea of status and understanding kind of where the norm is and can I improve over the norm? How am I doing is really important to people. And there's always financial incentives. Now, there's been a lot of written about financial incentives, and financial incentives I'll break down into two things, right? There's individual financial incentives and then financial kind of group incentives. And you could take group incentives kind of along this path. But that's how I think about and how we think about, very simply, different types of incentives. So again, there's emotional incentives. People feel good. I've become a runner. Once they start to identify that way, they're locked in for the long term. They've changed their life and they love it. The status is, how am I doing? I'm not quite as good as everybody. Oh, I can do a little bit better. I bet I can improve on that. And the last one is financial incentives. And you're right. Financial incentives get people's attention out of the gates. They get them to say, oh, there's something here that's worthwhile paying some attention to. It was interesting when we first started the business, and this goes back 7 years, every time I'd fly on a plane, people would, you know, we'd get a conversation, whoever's sitting next to me, and they say, what do you do? And I say, I pay people to exercise. And not once did people say, gosh, don't sign me up for that. Every time somebody said that was really interesting to them. And they said, gosh, I should exercise. I get paid for it? Who would pay me to exercise? Why would they pay me to exercise? So they started to go, oh, okay. So it just made sense to people. So financial incentives are really powerful and can be powerful, but they've got to be intelligently applied. For example, our program requires people to engage in it on a daily, weekly basis. And that kind of financial incentive is important. I know a lot of people in the industry will pay a lot of money to have people fill out an HRA. And so it takes 20, 30 minutes to fill out a health risk assessment. And some clients and then some others that aren't clients are paying people $600 to fill out an HRA. And that to me is a poor use of incentive dollars. You can get people to take the HRA, but not always is the data good, and not always can you, seldom if ever do you see a change in behavior from that 20-minute sitting, right? And so what we do is say, you know what, it's worth $500 to you and use that psychology, or $400 to you and use that psychology, but now it's every day over a year. So if you actually look at the hours, what you're paying a person per hour per incentive, it actually is a very small amount. But if you roll it up for the year, then it becomes meaningful, which is a lot like health. It's the small daily steps that make it meaningful at the end to have a healthy body. And it's helping people remember that those small steps are there. I have stories of people driving back 20 minutes because they forgot their pedometer in a day. Right? I mean, we hear it all the time.
I know those stories.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to stop you right here.
It really is incredible. The other thing that I find is that people, the incentive is a help up front in motivation. It's also a help at different times when there's some weakness. But that can't be the only thing that you're relying on. And so incentives alone aren't good enough to do things. You've got to have the ability to help people set the goal, start the habit, set a new habit in motion, give them the triggers, help them understand the triggers, and help them design kind of their lives around changing their behavior.
Absolutely. And I'm going to stop you right here. We need to run to a break right quick.
Oh, yeah.
And we can continue on this, and I do want to hear some of those stories. So,
great, fantastic.
We'll be right back.
Thanks.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
In sales, are you a lion or a vulture? Lions don't wait, they just go for it. Vultures hang around until the lions are finished and just pick up the scraps. How can you set yourself apart as a lion? Join the other aspiring sales lions and listen to Forget Patience, Let's Sell Something with host Ty Maynard. You'll learn the tips and strategies of top sales professionals. You'll gain more clients at a faster rate and at higher margins. If you're a sales professional, business owner, or executive, listen in every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel. Are you and your business well prepared? For what, you may ask? Well, what about workplace violence, cyber attacks, or general business disasters? Listen for Fear is Negotiable, Business Survival Skills 101 with your host, Pamela Hill. We'll bring you case studies of the businesses that don't prepare and the consequences that can happen. We'll also bring you best practice strategies that can help you keep your business running smoothly. Tune in to Fear is Negotiable, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You're tuned in to Investing in the Future, Creating Wealth Through Health with Susan Doherty. Got a question or comment today? Please call into the show at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to Susan at thehealthywell.com. Now, back to Investing in the Future, Creating Wealth Through Health.
Welcome back. We are here with Chris Boyce, CEO of Virgin Pulse, and we have been talking about incentives and how excited people are for the various both intrinsic incentives as far as their motivation to succeed. And I know that I saw a lot of that, Chris, with people who, especially during team challenges, they, you know, if they missed out by, you know, 100 steps a day over the course of a 2-week challenge, they were just like, because I mean, it was just like, I mean, they were really motivated to step it up and to win challenges or to be a part, or even if it's just to help their team, you know, I mean, there would be emails going around, come on team, we're this close. And I mean, it was those kind of rewards for people were extremely motivated. And then of course there are the just financial incentives, which often are what get people to pay attention to a program. I want to talk a little bit about, you know, what about some of these challenges. You know, what are you doing differently that sets Virgin Pulse apart from maybe some just simple activity-based programs? I mean, I know you guys started off, you were never just a simple activity-based program. Even from the beginning, there was some engagement, but you've certainly built upon that program, and now you're, you know, have blown it up. So talk a little bit about what your engagement levels are and different ways that you do that.
Sure. This idea, I think one of the things that we did out of the gate, Susan, was we said, if we're going to be successful as a company, we have to change behavior. And to change behavior, you can't rely on any one thing. And you can't make it too hard for people. If things are too hard, again, you can't get to the small, easy things to do. It's very challenging. So there's a lot of thought that has had to go into our capability of getting people to join the program. And usually, if people follow best practices, we can get 80 to 90% of a population to join a program. And then we can keep 60% engaged in it over the long term. There's some kind of drop-off after the first 4 months. But most other people that we see, they drop out almost to zero after 4 months. Ours, we are able to sustain again over 7 years at kind of that 60% level. What we've done to do that is just a number of things. All of our learning from from the Virgin Group on how to treat consumers and customers. 96% of our members say they, you know, that they're fully satisfied with the program. 92% say they recommend it to a friend. So people really like what it is we do. So this idea of keeping it easy, keeping it fun, is really important to us. One way that we keep it fun certainly are the challenges and competitions, and I think we were the very first company in the market that really focused on the social aspect of it. And we found those challenges are terribly, terribly important. And what we did is we first started just running the challenges so we could learn from them, and then we turned the switch and said, why don't we let our members run the challenges? And, you know, at any one time, we probably have 5,000-6,000 challenges going on that are user-generated. Oh. That are, you know, that our members just say, here's the group of people, we're going to put something on the line here, and here we go. And they organize themselves into those groups, and they invite other people. And so there's what's come is a variety of different types and ways that companies like to challenge that fits their cultures. So having great flexibility on that side is terribly important. And what we found is if we can do it at the corporate level and then we allow the consumer to do it, that it's the variety of types of challenges that really resound with our clients, as they like to have that variety. And so do the people. So do our members. They like to try different things. They like to, you know, they like to kind of shoot at different things. And for some people, those challenges are really, really important. Other people, they want to win a prize. They're very much kind of gamers, and they want to, you know, they want to win the drawing. So we have what we call a quest, right, where then it's every time I hit 7,000 steps, or every time, you know, I've gotten the sleep that I need, then I get another entry into a drawing or a giveaway. And some people just like that aspect of it. So, you know, we've found that that's important. Being able to put triggers and emails and reminders and things for people are really important in this. So being able to trigger based on, you know, what a person has done, where they sit in their life, and what it is that they're trying to accomplish, those kinds of triggers are really important. Like, I got one the other day. I got an email, and I'd actually gone through our portal and earned some money because I booked a Marriott stay, and because I'm healthy, and in our program, Marriott says, I'll give you a portion of that back to you, and I got some money from that, and I had forgotten that I had done that, and it was a trigger, and it brought me back to the site and said, hey, I just got some extra cash for doing something I was going to do anyway, and for being active and healthy. And so it just reinforced kind of the idea that, you know what, I'm making changes, I'm attempting to do things, and there's a real benefit to me by doing that. And so it's some of those, so what happens is there's two types of kind of surprises on that front. There's the first of all is, if people know what reward they can get, they'll work towards them. So I get this, I get to the level. You see that with frequent flyer programs all the time. I get to a certain level, I push to get to that level, I get something else, and an extra benefit. And we see that all the time. You can see that in loyalty programs and throughout the world. But then there's these surprises where, oh, I've just done something else and I get a surprise. Like we had a Virgin Islands kind of trip. And so if people did so well on getting from island to island, right, by racking up steps or getting more points by entering your sleep, or, you know, any of those things that they can do to kind of earn points, then all of a sudden they were able to go from place to place. It was fun. They were part of this journey. They were part of a bigger group. They enjoyed that piece, and then they got some extra things and a chance at winning things at the end. This idea of social is important. We've got one of our sales guys, and he started an Appalachian Trail group. And now there's hundreds and hundreds of people on this Appalachian Trail group where they're talking about how far it took, you know, how far they got between places, how they felt, where they stayed over, and what they did. So this idea of a social then becomes a really important part of it. This idea of kind of a quiz and a poll and being able to help people understand and learn and kind of earn while they learn is important. So we have these know and goes. So people could start to track their sleep or their water intake, and they can actually say, I'm learning something along the way, I'm getting some points along the way, this is a good thing for me, and they continue to participate in it. And so what we find is different things motivate and attract and trigger different people at different times, and if you have only one or two of those things, you just aren't going to be good enough to sustain the behavior. And that's what we've seen. We're very flattered by all of the people that have come into the market. But what they don't realize is we've invested over years and years, really deep kind of pieces of our program with real intent to help people change behavior. And until they kind of match that and figure all of those different pieces out, they won't be able to get the same kind of engagement that we've been able to get over the long term.
I made that kind of that comment to your people that were at, you had some of your staff at the Corporate Wellness Conference, the Employer Health Care and Benefit Congress in Las Vegas last month. And I said just that, you know, there's a lot more competition out here, but I see all the different things that you are doing above and beyond. You mentioned you have a new nutrition program coming, or that you've started. What is that?
So what we've done with that is we partnered with a great application, MyFitnessPal. It's one of the most used nutrition applications in the market. It's a great app, and people can get that for free. And they basically go in and they enter what they get, and that'll take all of that information, put it over into our site for their how many calories they've eaten and how many calories they've burned in the program. So people can start to look at their, you know, calories in versus calories out. It can also help them from a macronutrient standpoint to understand kind of where they are. We have a lot of people that, you know, that are saying, hey, I love the paleo diet. I want to see kind of those macronutrients. Other people that are more vegetarian or clean eating, right, and really follow a different. But the goal here for us is to say we want to take all of those things, the challenges, the competitions, the daily use, the simplified use, the triggers, the goal setting, the communications, and help people that want to change their nutrition, help them really make significant changes. And we know, and the science shows, that if you can get people to track just a couple meals, at least even a day, they start to be more mindful about the eating that they, you know, that they engage in. They start to be more mindful about what it is that they're putting in their body. And that in and of itself helps people start to regulate that part of their life in a little bit different way. They just start to understand and say, oh, I'm stress eating, or oh, I had more today. What happened there? So as we continue to build out that nutrition portion, for example, we think that will be terribly valuable to our members.
Well, I see that all kind of combines, and I know that, and I really don't have time to really get into this because I want to hear more about what the employer side gets of this. But
yeah.
I just want it to be mentioned that I know that you. You have your own pedometer, but employees can also utilize their own devices as well. And I know that you have integrated those kind of third-party people into your program as well.
Yeah, our goal on that side is to be device agnostic and really kind of program and app agnostic out in the marketplace. If people want to use different things, we want to allow them to use them in our program. As we think that's, you know, we want whatever's best for the consumer. We actually didn't get into the pedometer program. We didn't intend on being kind of a wearable when we started, but we've become that. And it's amazing how many, you know, are out in the marketplace. We will be having something new come out on that front, which we're excited about here at the first of the year. So stay tuned for that. But our goal is to be device agnostic and let people and allow people to use the different apps and devices that they may have to be able to track their health and their overall well-being, not just in activity, but in other areas as well. And so that for us is important. For example, a lot of people like to use a Fitbit, right, or Endomondo,
right,
or other things. And so we allow that. And we think that it's important that people, you know, kind of are comfortable where they're at. Some might want the Polar Heart Rate Monitor. We became a great reseller of Polar Heart Rate Monitor simply because a lot of people like that, and that was part of the program. And we made that easy for the members that wanted to do really a real hard kind of exercise-based piece versus kind of background activity, which is what the pedometers track. So that's our goal overall, is to be agnostic to those things. And we find that our clients really like that. You mentioned the clients and the value that they get. You know, we have a live dashboard all the time for our clients. And we're very keen on showing kind of really good science and really good data back to employers so that they can measure the things that matter the most to them. You know, at the end of the day, the employers are the ones funding the program. And so our goal is to continue to build out data sets for them so that they can look at their data. And one of the things that we find interesting is we really have learned over time what our best practices are. One of the things that I think next to the, I'm really proud about what we're able to do with members. I'm also really proud about the client base that we have. You know, we have better than 95% retention year over year of our clients. And that says something for what it is that we're able to do for as long as we've been able to do it. And it's because we really value clients' input. We value the goals that they have to drive their organization. And we recognize that every client's a little bit different. They want different things. But as this new emerging area of kind of really understanding behavior change and wellness is becoming more and more a science, we're actually able to sit down with our clients and share best practices across the board. So people really, you know, can learn quickly and rapidly from each other and then have real data to back up kind of their approach, what they've done, and what they've been able to accomplish over the long term.
Excellent. I know that you are totally in tune with the companies and with the program and the employees, and I think it's just a wonderful, wonderful program. I've always admired it. You know that. Chris, unfortunately, our time has come to an end. I'm sorry we didn't get to some of those fun stories because I had a couple I really wanted to share with the people that I'd worked with.
I have two. I'd love to hear them.
I will share those with you on offline. So, but anyway, I want to thank you for spending a little time with us and sharing this program. And so please join me next week as I have Dr. Joel Bennett, and he and I are going to take on holiday stress. In this interview, we're going to examine three types of holiday stress and how to approach this time of year as a potential path to peace, joy, and renewal. Until next time, be well.
Thanks for tuning in today to Investing in the Future, Creating Wealth Through Health. Please join your host, Susan Doherty, again next Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel. Have a great and overall healthy week.